God to the rescue. Well, howdy, hi there. This is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, and I'm coming to you from Riverside, California. Podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. Welcome. This is the daily show where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. Our reading today is Psalms 105 through 107. You know the routine. Before I read each chapter, I'll give you a brief introduction, and then when I'm done reading all the chapters, I'll have some comments for you. The show notes page for today's episode is at lifespringmedia.com/S12E245. My email address, as always, is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Love to hear from you. Are you ready? Though not attributed to David, the first 15 chapters of Psalm 105 are the same as 1 Chronicles 16, 8 through 22, where David gave them to Asaph and his relatives to sing, so it's quite possible that David wrote them. Quite probable that he wrote them. Of Psalm 105, G. Campbell Morgan wrote, "This and the following psalm are companions. They reveal the two sides of the relation between God and his people during a long period. This one sings the song of his faithfulness and power, while the next tells the sad story of repeated failure and rebellion on the part of his people."
Psalms chapter 105. Praise the Lord and pray in his name. Tell everyone what he has done. Sing praises to the Lord. Tell about his miracles. Celebrate and worship his holy name with all your heart. Trust the Lord and his mighty power. Remember his miracles and all his wonders and his fair decisions. You belong to the family of Abraham, his servant. You are his chosen ones, the descendants of Jacob. The Lord is our God, bringing justice everywhere on earth. He will never forget his agreement or his promises, not in thousands of years. God made an eternal promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when he said, "I'll give you the land of Canaan." At the time, there were only a few of us, and we were homeless. We wandered from nation to nation, from one country to another. God did not let anyone mistreat our people. Instead, he protected us by punishing rulers and telling them, "Don't touch my chosen leaders or harm my prophets." God kept crops from growing until food was scarce everywhere in the land. But he had already sent Joseph, sold as a slave, into Egypt with chains of iron around his legs and neck. Joseph remained a slave until his own words had come true and the Lord had finished testing him. Then the king of Egypt set Joseph free and put him in charge of everything he owned. Joseph was in command of the officials, and he taught the leaders how to use wisdom. Jacob and his family came and settled in Egypt as foreigners. They were the Lord's people, so he let them grow stronger than their enemies. They served the Lord, and he made the Egyptians plan hateful things against them. God sent his servant Moses. He also chose and sent Aaron to his people in Egypt, and they worked miracles and wonders there. Moses and Aaron obeyed God, and he sent darkness to cover Egypt. God turned their rivers into streams of blood, and the fish all died. Frogs were everywhere, even in the royal palace. When God gave the command, flies and gnats swarmed all around. In place of rain, God sent hailstones and flashes of lightning. He destroyed their grapevines and their fig trees, and he made splinters of all the other trees. God gave the command, and more grasshoppers came than could be counted. They ate every green plant and all the crops that grew in the land of Egypt. Then God took the life of every firstborn son. When God led Israel from Egypt, they took silver and gold, and no one was left behind. The Egyptians were afraid and gladly let them go. God hid them under a cloud and guided them by fire during the night. When they asked for food, he sent more birds than they could eat. God even split open a rock and streams of water gushed into the desert. God never forgot his sacred promise to his servant Abraham. When the Lord rescued his chosen people from Egypt, they celebrated with songs. The Lord gave them the land and everything else the nations had worked for. He did this so that his people would obey all his laws. Shout praises to the Lord.
Of Psalm 106, Derek Kidner wrote, "This psalm is the dark counterpart of its predecessor, a shadow cast by human self-will in its long struggle against the light." And this is what Charles Spurgeon had to say. Israel's history is here written with a view of showing human sin, even as the preceding psalm was composed to magnify divine goodness. It is, in fact, a national confession. And Alexander McLaren added, "The keynote of Psalm 105 is, 'Remember His mighty deeds.' That of Psalm 106 is, 'They forgot His mighty deeds.'"
Psalm chapter 106. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His loyal love endures. Who can adequately recount the Lord's mighty acts, or relate all His praiseworthy deeds? How blessed are those who promote justice and do what is right all the time. Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Pay attention to me when you deliver, so I may see the prosperity of your chosen ones. Rejoice along with your nation, and boast along with the people who belong to you. We have sinned like our ancestors. We have done wrong. We have done evil. Our ancestors in Egypt failed to appreciate your miraculous deeds. They failed to remember your many acts of loyal love, and they rebelled at the sea, by the Red Sea. Yet He delivered them for the sake of His reputation, that He might reveal His power. He shouted at the Red Sea and dried it up. He led them through the deep water as if it were a desert. He delivered them from the power of the one who hated them, and rescued them from the power of the enemy. The water covered their enemies. Not even one of them survived. They believed His promises. They sang praises to Him. They quickly forgot what He had done. They did not wait for His instructions. In the wilderness, they had an insatiable craving for meat. They challenged God in the desert. He granted their request, then struck them with a disease. In the camp, they resented Moses and Aaron, the Lord's holy priest. The earth opened up and swallowed Dathan. It engulfed the group led by Abiram. Fire burned their group. The flames scorched the wicked. They made an image of a calf at Horeb and worshipped a metal idol. They traded their majestic God for the image of an ox that eats grass. They rejected the God who delivered them, the one who performed great deeds in Egypt, amazing feats in the land of Ham, mighty acts by the Red Sea. He threatened to destroy them, but Moses, His chosen one, interceded with Him and turned back His destructive anger. They rejected the fruitful land. They did not believe His promise. They grumbled in their tents. They did not obey the Lord. So He made a solemn vow that He would make them die in the desert, make their descendants die among the nations, and scatter them among foreign lands. They worshipped Baal of Peor, and ate sacrifices offered to the dead. They made the Lord angry by their actions, and a plague broke out among them. Phinehas took a stand and intervened, and the plagues subsided. This brought him a reward, an eternal gift. They made him angry by the waters of Meribah, and Moses suffered because of them, for they aroused his temper, and he spoke rashly. They did not destroy the nations as the Lord had commanded them to do. They mixed in with the nations and learned their ways. They worshipped their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and daughters to demons. They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. The land was polluted by bloodshed. They were defiled by their deeds and unfaithful in their actions. So the Lord was angry with His people and despised the people who belonged to Him. He handed them over to the nations, and those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them. They were subject to their authority. Many times He delivered them, but they had a rebellious attitude and degraded themselves by their sin. He took notice of their distress when He heard their cry for help. He remembered His covenant with them and relented because of His great loyal love. He caused all their conquerors to have pity on them. Deliver us, O Lord our God. Gather us from among the nations. Then we will give thanks to your holy name and boast about your praiseworthy deeds. The Lord God of Israel deserves praise in the future and forevermore. Let all the people say, "We agree. Praise the Lord."
Psalm 107 begins the last of the five books of the Psalms. Though it does not have a title given in the text, Derek Kidner called it, "God to the Rescue." In this psalm, God's deliverance is shown in four vignettes, and we're shown that even though we all have different events in our lives, there are remarkable similarities in that God's love takes us through the most difficult circumstances.
Psalms 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His loyal love endures. Let those delivered by the Lord speak out, those whom He delivered from the power of the enemy and gathered from foreign lands, from east and west, from north and south. They wandered through the wilderness on a desert road. They found no city in which to live. They were hungry and thirsty. They fainted from exhaustion. They cried out to the Lord in their distress. He delivered them from their troubles. He led them on a level road, that they might find a city in which to live. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loyal love and for the amazing things He has done for people. For He has satisfied those who thirst, and those who hunger He has filled with food. They sat in utter darkness, bound in painful iron chains, because they had rebelled against God's commands and rejected the instructions of the sovereign king. So He used suffering to humble them. They stumbled and no one helped them up. They cried out to the Lord in their distress. He delivered them from their troubles. He brought them out of the utter darkness and tore off their shackles. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loyal love and for the amazing things He has done for people. For He shattered the bronze gates and hacked through the iron bars. They acted like fools in their rebellious ways and suffered because of their sins. They lost their appetite for all food, and they drew near the gates of death. They cried out to the Lord in their distress. He delivered them from their troubles. He sent them an assuring word and healed them. He rescued them from the pits where they were trapped. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loyal love, for the amazing things He has done for people. Let them present thank offerings and loudly proclaim what He has done. Some traveled on the sea in ships and carried cargo over the vast waters. They witnessed the acts of the Lord, His amazing feats on the deep water. He gave the order for a windstorm, and it stirred up the waves of the sea. They reached up to the sky, then dropped into the depths. The sailors' strength left them because the danger was so great. They swayed and staggered like a drunk, and all their skill proved ineffective. They cried out to the Lord in their distress. He delivered them from their troubles. He calmed the storm, and the waves grew silent. The sailors rejoiced because the waves grew quiet, and He led them to the harbor they desired. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loyal love and for the amazing things He has done for people. Let them exalt Him in the assembly of the people. Let them praise Him in the place where the leaders preside. He turned streams into a desert, springs of water into arid land, and a fruitful land into a barren place because of the sin of its inhabitants. As for His people, He turned a desert into a pool of water, and a dry land into springs of water. He allowed the hungry to settle there, and they established a city in which to live. They cultivated fields and planted vineyards, which yielded a harvest of fruit. He blessed them so that they became very numerous. He would not allow their cattle to decrease in number. As for their enemies, they decreased in number and were beaten down because of painful distress and suffering. He would pour contempt upon princes and made them wander in a wasteland with no road. Yet He protected the needy from oppression and cared for His families like a flock of sheep. When the godly see this, they rejoice, and every sinner shuts his mouth. Whoever is wise, let him take note of these things. Let them consider the Lord's acts of loyal love.
Chapter 106 opens with a call to praise the Lord and to give thanks because He is good and His loyal love endures. In fact, the first five verses are a joy to read. We find ourselves saying, "Yes, amen," along with the author. And then, at verse 7, things take a darker tone. The author confesses that we have sinned like our ancestors. There is talk of sin and judgment, betrayal and anger, deliverance and forgetfulness. And then, in the second to the last verse, the writer pleads for God to deliver us. He promises to give thanks and tell of God's marvelous deeds. in the last verse proclaims that the Lord God of Israel deserves praise forever and urges everyone to say, "We agree, praise the Lord." What I make of this is that even in the midst of judgment and pain, God is worthy of praise. Why? Because, as it says in the very first verse, His loyal love endures forever. Judgment and anger don't come because God no longer loves us. On the contrary, if God didn't love us, He would be indifferent to us. He would turn us over to our own wicked ways, which we know from Scripture that He does do to those who have hardened their hearts to Him. But if we seek Him, if we turn from our rebellion, His love for us is shown by forgiveness and redemption. As a matter of fact, didn't God already prove that over 2,000 years ago with the death and resurrection of Jesus? We have only to accept that fact and believe that He died for our sins and then allow Him to guide our actions and our decisions to experience that loyal and enduring love. I'm so glad I don't have to depend on my own effort or my own faithfulness. I fail more often than I care to admit, but He sees it all and He offers forgiveness. The Lord God of Israel deserves praise in the future and forevermore. Say with me, "We agree, praise the Lord." And in Psalm 107, there are several calls to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good and His loyal love endures. We hear this refrain four times. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loyal love and for the amazing things He has done for people. The psalm ends with this. Let them consider the Lord's acts of loyal love. Have you ever been delivered from an enemy? Give thanks to the Lord for His loyal love and for the amazing things He has done for you. Have you been delivered from hunger or from thirst? Give thanks to the Lord for His loyal love and for the amazing things He has done for you. Have you been a prisoner or a captive? God was and is there to bring freedom. Give thanks to the Lord and for His loyal love and for the amazing things He has done for you. Have you been sick? God is the creator of our bodies. He is the master physician. Give thanks to the Lord for His loyal love and for the amazing things He has done for you. Have you experienced a raging storm and known the calm brought by the Word of God? Give thanks to the Lord for His loyal love and for the amazing things He has done for you. Have you experienced loss but seen God miraculously provide? Give thanks to the Lord for His loyal love and for the amazing things He has done for you. God's loyal love. It never fails. It never wavers. God is love. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Leave a comment at lifespringmedia.com/S12E245. Our reading tomorrow will be Proverbs chapter 22.
Boost!
Well, we heard the other day that Kirstie has been diligently trying to get caught up, and I got this comment this morning from her. She said, "I love the commentary on Numbers 12:3. That made me laugh." And in case you don't remember, that's where I talked about Moses calling himself the most humble man in the world, although not really. But if you didn't hear the episode that included Numbers 12, go back and listen to it. Anyway, Kirstie continues. She said, "That was a great mini-sermon on Numbers 12. Being a loving parent, and having been a child of loving parents, I feel I have the tiniest glimpse into how God feels about us as His children, that innate desire to do good things for your kids, even when they frustrate you to bits or consistently whinge and do the wrong thing." I have to stop right there. That's the first time I've ever seen that word, whinge. Is that a word you say a lot in Australia? I've never heard it here in America. I had to look it up. Anyway, or consistently whinge and do the wrong thing. I'm so thankful that God feels that way about me, because I am sure not the perfect daughter of Christ. P.S. I'm finally caught up on the episodes. Well, Kirstie, thank you for that. And I'm so glad you're caught up. And I'm glad that the commentary on Numbers 12 helped you to see God as a loving parent. That's a good thing. Well, hey, if you believe that God's word is needed today, if the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible has helped you to stay in the Word, and if you've been encouraged in your faith, then maybe it's time to support the show. That's how Value for Value works. The show's only support is from you, the LifeSpring family. I don't make you listen to advertisers, and I wouldn't have advertisers because, as you know, advertising is censorship. I don't take advertisers because that's one way the enemy gets in there and tries to shut us down. If I'm not beholden to advertisers, I'm only beholden to the Lord, then the only way I can pay the bills around here is if you help. You know that I won't compromise the message of the gospel. And if you believe that's important, then please go to lifespringmedia.com/support and see how easy it is to donate. Pray about what God would have you send and be obedient to His leading. If you do that, then I'll be able to pay the bills and keep doing the show. If you believe in what the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible is all about, if you're receiving value from the show, then you know what to do. On this date in church history, May 4th, 1923, William Robertson Nicoll passed away. He was a British religious journalist and editor. The son of a Scottish Free Church minister, he edited the British journal The Expositor and the 50-volume Expositor's Bible. That's a project that took from 1888 to 1905. It just dawned on me. It took him 17 years to do that. I've been behind this microphone doing a podcast for the same amount of time. I wonder if there's a message there. All right, well, today I have a couple of personal prayer requests. Depending on when you're hearing this, I might be in the midst of a CT scan, even as you're listening. If you're listening on Wednesday, May 4th, I'm scheduled to check in this morning at 8:45. What's the CT scan for? Well, they'll be sort of getting a map of my heart for the cardiac ablation procedure that I'm going to be having this month on the 27th. Yep, I'm going to have it done. In case you didn't hear, I've been having periods of atrial fibrillation, or AFib, for a few years, and I had a recent period where it was happening fairly often. The doc says that if we don't do something about it, it could get progressively worse, and I could end up having to have a pacemaker installed in my chest. That's not something that I really want to have done if I can avoid it. Obviously, none of us know how long the Lord will keep us here, but it is possible that I'll be around for maybe a couple of more decades at my age, so I'm thinking that having this procedure is the right idea. On the 27th, the lovely lady Leanne and I will check into the hospital in Los Angeles at 6:30 in the morning, which means that we'll probably leave home here in Riverside between 4:30 and 5 o'clock in the morning. Yuck. The procedure is supposed to take between 4 and 6 hours, and then I'll be in recovery for at least another 6 hours, and this is the worst part of the whole thing. I'll have to be flat on my back that entire 6 hours. I've got a bad back, and laying flat on my back for that length of time is going to be agony. So I'm dreading that. But after that, I should be able to go back home that day. Now, before I go in, I will get a few episodes recorded in advance just in case I don't feel up to recording after the procedure. So please, if you would, keep me in your prayers. I would appreciate it. And then tomorrow night, Thursday night, Leanne is going to be flying out to Florida so that she can go to our daughter-in-law's baby shower. She'll be gone for 4 days. Let's pray for a safe and enjoyable trip. Leanne gets pretty nervous when she travels alone. She worries about making her connecting flights. We haven't done a lot of air travel in our marriage, so she's not used to navigating in the airports. So please do remember her in your prayers. So, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful that Your loyal love endures forever. No matter what's going on in our lives, whether difficult or joyful, Your loyal love endures forever. How good You are to us. You love us far more than we deserve, but Your loyal love endures forever. Thank You, Lord. We love You. We praise You. We worship You. Father, I ask You to keep me safe as I go through this episode with my heart. You gave this heart to me, and I'm so thankful that You've been with me through the various problems that have happened over the past several years, and I know that I am in Your loving, capable care, so I'm not really worried about what's coming up. If You'd heal my heart, that would be awesome, but if not, that's okay too. I just pray that You would be with me and guide my decisions about the care, and that You would guide the doctor's hands as she does the procedure. And Lord, as I'm laying there in the bed in the recovery room, I pray that the time would go quickly and that the discomfort would be bearable. I pray that your presence would be there with me in a powerful way. And I pray for Leanne's trip to Florida, Lord. Calm her heart and guide her through the airports. I pray that her time with Valerie and Tim is sweet as they celebrate the soon birth of this precious little girl that'll be here at the first part of June. I put Leanne and Valerie and Tim and this newest little Webb in your care. And I pray that this little girl would be healthy, but even more than that, that she would be a blessing to Tim and Val and that she would grow to be a faithful woman of God. We can't wait to meet her, Lord, and we thank you for this little life that you're bringing to us. I thank you, Lord, so much for the LifeSpring family. You've brought each person here, and I'm so happy to share time around your word with them. Bless each one, and may they be encouraged by the Psalms we've read today. May their walk with you grow closer. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sharing prayer requests is something that we're told to do in the Word. And if you have a prayer request or if God is doing something great in your life, please go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com and let me know about it there. I'll pray for you and I'll rejoice with you in my private prayer time and we'll share on the show. Speaking of sharing on the show, please share the show with the people around you, with the people at work, with your family, with your neighbors, with the friends at church, with your boss, with your postman. Whoever you think would enjoy the show or whoever you think needs the show, let them know about the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. Some of you seem to be doing that. I see the download numbers are increasing, so that's a good thing, and I praise God for that. If you're new here, welcome. I'm glad you're here. Drop me a line. Let me hear from you. Tell me where you heard about the show. You can put a comment on the show notes page at lifespringmedia.com/S12E245, or you can email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. If you're new and you want to tell me how you found out about the show, in the subject line of your email, put, "Here's how I found you." That way your email will be sure to jump out at me when I'm looking in my inbox. Please do support the show at lifespringmedia.com/support, or if you've got one of those cool new podcast apps from newpodcastapps.com. And if you don't have one of those, why are you hanging on to that old dusty legacy app? Get a new podcast app, because then you can stream sats to me. If you need help with that, let me know. I'll walk you through it. And you can send boosts and boostograms. It's all part of the new podcasting 2.0 thing. But when you do that, it does help support the show. If you don't want to do that and you'd rather send dollars, you can do that right there on the website at lifespringmedia.com/support. Well, it's been fun today. I've enjoyed our time together. And until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.